I'm a Dalit, I'm a Bez, five lines from the bottom. Do you want to discuss the point that Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned that by the Korban Pesach, now you have hundreds, possibly hundreds of thousands of Korbanos Pesach being brought, every one of them, the blood has to reach the Mizbeach, and if not, then it's not a kosher to Korban. So Rabbi Yehuda says at the end, after they got done with all of them, said Gufa, we learn in a Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kois Echad Hayim Mala Vidamat HaRubis. They would take one cup and fill it up with blood that was all mixed together on the ground, in case the blood of one of the Korbanos Pesach spilled, this way, statistically, there'll be at least one drop of the blood of that Korban that spilled in that cup, and then that way the Korban will be kosher, because otherwise, conceivably, there could be a Korban Pesach out there, which is not actually a Korban Pesach, because the blood never reached them as dead. Omru loy l'Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, that won't work, but that blood that's on the floor was not received in a keli, it just spilled directly from the neck onto the floor, and earlier in the Masechta, earlier in the previous Perek, the Mishnah has said that such blood is possible to sprinkle on the Mizbeach. So what is your idea going to accomplish? So they want to ask, wait, now Yavi, what do you mean? How do they know that specifically it spilled from the neck? Maybe it spilled from a keli onto the floor, and in that case, the halacha is it is kosher to sop it up from the floor and put it back in the keli and sprinkle it. Ella, fine. They're saying shemel in a scabbard of plea. Maybe it wasn't received in a keli, and you're sprinkling blood, which is possible. We don't want to sprinkle blood that's possible for no reason. So why should we do that? Amalahan, so Rabbi Yehuda answers them, Afa Nila Yamarti Elekshin Eskabel Bakli. You know what? I'm also talking about only when it was received in a kevi. And then the halacha is that then you can get it up from the floor again and put it back in the kevi and sprinkle it. So the question is, well, who Gufin Mino Yada knew? How does Rabbi Yehuda know that this blood was in a kevi at one point? And the answer is because he says, Koyanim Zrizim, because the Koyanim is Zrizim, so they were going to be careful to receive all the blood. We can assume it's very unlikely, even though there could be la halacha, that blood spurts directly from the neck onto the floor. It's unlikely. The Koyanim are very quick and very zoris in what they do, so it's unlikely that they do that. But precisely because they're zoris, v'abdin haya, they're doing things very fast, or mishnapchen. So it can happen that because of that, they spill blood from the keli onto the floor. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, most likely, this blood on the floor was in a keli, and therefore it is kosher to sprinkle. Okay, so you want to ask another problem. But then you have another problem, that there's blood of tamsis mixed in with it. Now, the Gemara elsewhere explains that when you shecht an animal, the blood comes out in several different stages. First you have, you start cutting through, you cut through the skin and the first muscles of the neck, and you have little drops of blood coming out. That's not dama nefesh yet. Blood is blood, of course, but nevertheless, that's not, the animal's life is not leaving with that. Then you have, afterwards, as you cut further in, it starts dribbling out. Then you have, eventually, a huge gush comes out. And then you have at the end, after the gush, then also it starts dribbling out again. It's machlokas in the Gemara elsewhere, whether everybody agrees the third one is dama nefesh and can be sprinkled on the mizbeach, there's an opinion that the second one is also. But the other ones, the first and the fourth one, are dama tamsis. Those are definitely possible to sprinkle on the mizbeach. So blood is, so it's mixed in over here. How can you be sprinkling it on the mizbeach? The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, gama dama tamsis kori dam. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own shita, that such dama tamsis is in fact considered full-fledged blood to the extent of that a person would get koris for it. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, dama tamsis, if a person eats that, drinks that dama tamsis, ba'az hora, he's not chayav koris for it. The Tanakama says there he's only over on a loisese. Rabbi Yehuda I'm a koris, and Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayav koris for it. Because again, the chorus is for nefesh abosa badom hi, when the blood that has the life in it, well, then damatamsis doesn't have the life in it. But if you heard the lumens from a different passage, that it says cold dumb, that it means damatamsis as well. Well, very well. He's going l'shitase then that such blood is on the face of it, then he's going l'shitase and saying that such blood, there's no problem putting it on his day. But the problem is that doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda does agree insofar as kapara that dama tamsis is not machaper. Because the pasuk says the blood is the soul. Okay, nefesh and baser, but dom he is a different pasuk. which from which we learn, dam shah nefesh yotze boi kori dam, only the blood with which the nefesh leaves, the big gush of blood, and maybe fine, maybe the dribbling before that, is called dam. She'ena nefesh yotze boi ein kori dam, but not what that doesn't go out with. So dam atamtis, even if Rabbi Yehuda holds his blood as far as koris, he definitely does not hold, based on what Rabbi Elazar is telling us, that he definitely does not hold that blood as far as sprinkling on his back. So we're back to the question, how is Rabbi Yehuda saying, take a cup of the blood that's on the floor after the Korbanos Pesach are finished and sprinkle on the Mizbeach in case that came from one of the Korbanos? What if it's Dama Tamsis and you're not supposed to be putting that on the Mizbeach? The answer is El Rav Yehuda L'Taimei. Rather, the reason why for Rav Yehuda's Shitta is based on a different Svara of his, that he says, Da'oma Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. He says that one type of blood is not Mevatel the other one. So therefore, so it doesn't matter if there is Dama Kamsis in there, as long as there is at least one molecule of Dama Nefesh, then Rabbi Yehuda says we're good, and it's not going to be Nisbatel no matter how much you have of Dama Kamsis relative to that. As far as that, now, Tosfos adds the point, so the fact is you still do have Dama Kamsis in there, how are you dealing with that? Well, you have an opinion of Rabbi Yezer later on in the Masechta that says that when you have certain cases of a Suffolk, Suffolk involving Zrika, Rabbi Eliezer says you can put the blood on the Mizbeach and have in mind that if it's not needed to go on the Mizbeach, then it should be considered like water instead. So therefore, that's what he can do here. He can have in mind that within this kois, there's one molecule of Dama Nefesh, and the rest, the Dama Tamsis, we're going to imagine as though it's water. Or another Tosfos brings another possibility. Rabbi Eliezer also holds that if it's mixed with Dama Tamsis, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, the context where he holds this Ein Dam Mevatel Dam is, for example, he says, you see on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol brings the blood of the par and the blood of the sur, Lashem, into the Kodesh, and he does sprinklings with them over there, and eventually he mixes the two of them together. Now, you have a lot more blood of par than a par has a lot more blood than a sur. So you would think it could be bottled, and nevertheless we see it's not bottled, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda derives from that the concept of Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. So in the same way over here, he's saying the fact that there's a lot of Dama Tamsis is not Mevatel, a little bit of Dama Nefesh, and as far as the Dama Tamsis, fine, I'll have in mind as though it was water. Now, that would explain why the Chachamim disagree with him, because the Chachamim don't hold of that concept. They hold blood will be Mevatel blood, and therefore if you don't have, if it's not really good blood, Dama Nefesh, then it's not going to work, so therefore they say there's no point in doing it. So the Braisa continues, let me ask you, he says to the Chacham, fine, you don't hold of the Schidush of mine with the cup poured on the Mizbeach. But according to your own logic, Loma Perkikin Hazara, why before they start bringing the Korbanos Pesach, did they stop up the water channel in the Azara? There was a water channel called the Amma, because it was an Amma wide, that ran through the Azara. In various places, it talks about, for example, Pussel blood would go in there, eventually be saying the state of Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, that they would stop it up so that the water would flood the whole floor, and then they could clean the floor very easily of all the remainder of blood. But Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out, before they shechted the Korbanos Pesach, they would also stop it up. Now, why is that? Mela, according to me, that's understandable, because we want the blood to remain on the floor, so that at the end we can do this idea of mine. But you who say that we can't do that anyway, what's the point of stopping it up? Let the blood just go into the Amma and drain out, and that way the floor will be relatively clean. Omrulayim answered him, Shevach Livnei Aaron, Sheyochu Adar Kubusein Bedam. It's a praise for the sons of Aaron, for the Kohenim, that they should be walking up to their knees in blood. Meaning, in other words, that they're doing the Avoida, and they're not disgusted by the normal person. Might be disgusted wallowing through blood like that, but they consider the Avoida so precious and so important that they don't care about that. So we stop it up so that they'll takavi, a deep puddle of blood on the floor, and then they walk. So they want to ask, Dam ha-de-chatzitza. The question is, won't it be a chatzitza? Earlier in the Masechta, it says that if the Kohen has been standing on the bare floor, and he's barefoot too, there can't be anything between his feet and the floor to do the Avoida. The answer is lach uvaloi havi chatzitza. The answer is because the blood is wet, so it's not a chatzitza. It's not. As in fact we learn in the Mishnah, it says on the side it should be Tanya, hadam blood, bad yoy and ink, bad vash, honey, bacholov, milk, yuvashin chotzin, all those things, if they're dry, then they're a chatzitza on the skin or on a kebi that you want a totable. Lachin ain't chotzin. If they're wet, if they're moist, then they're not a chatzitza because the water will just wash them away. So the same thing over here, the blood is wet, and here they're not water to wash it away, but it's still the same principle. In other words, that's not considered a chatzitza. So they want to ask, don't you have a different problem, though? Their clothes get dirty if they're walking through blood like that. Utnan, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, Hoyo Begadim Metushtoshin, if his clothes were dirty, the Avad, and he does the Avoida, Avidasi Psula, then his Avoida is Pasul. So how are they going to walk through the blood, and their clothes are going to stay clean? If he came into Madluhu, you're going to answer, okay, well, what they do, they have where they wear Ksonis, which goes down to their ankles or to the floor. Fine, let's say they hitch it up. No good. Valtanya, Midoy Kamidase, we learn in a Braisa, that when it says, Golova Shakoin Midoy Bad, Midoy means according to his measure, according to his size. It means it can't be any shorter or any longer than his length. It has to be sized exactly to him. So therefore, so if they hitch up their clothing, it's not their size anymore, and therefore it's vice their avodah is possible. Tosfos points out, Udir in the Masechta, the Gemara had brought a machlokas, if the Kohen hitches up his ksonis using the avnate, so like you might have nowadays, let's say you take your gaucho and hitch up your kapotel fit, would that make it considered actually that now it's shorter than it's supposed to be, and therefore it's possible or not? Or Gemara is going according to the opinion that yes, we consider as though the folded over part, as if it doesn't exist. Just like we have, by the way, in Hilchos Tzitzis, the Alpha points out, you have with Tzitzis, it's supposed to be an Amma al Amma, and if it's folded and creased, then that doesn't count towards the Amma, so the Gemara there takes a similar view about if he hitches up the big de kahuna with the Avni. According to the opinion that it would be kosher, then Taka or Gemara wouldn't be a problem. They could hitch it up and it's fine. So the answer is the answer is fine. When would they walk through the blood is when they're carrying the pieces of the korbanos to the kevesh, to the ramp of the mizbeach, then they could be walking through the blood because that's not considered an avoida. So therefore then they could delav avoidehi, that's not an avoida, so then they could hitch up their clothing. The question obviously is going to be, so what about doing the other avoidas? The Gemara will deal with that in a couple of lines. So the Gemara asks the law, you're telling me carrying the Ivorim to the Kevesh is not an Avoida, but when the Pasuk says the Kohen should offer everything, that refers to carrying the limbs of the Korbanos to the Kevesh, they would put them there, by the way, they would salt them, they would leave them in the salt for a while, and then the Kohen would carry it up to the top of the Kevesh and throw them one by one into the fire. And the Mishnah and Talmud describes how they did it with the Korban Talmud every morning, and they would do similarly with other Korbanos. So therefore, that is an avoda. So the answer is rather we can answer they would be walking through the blood when they're carrying wood for the wood pile on them. Fine, the lava avoda, that's not considered an avoda. So the question is, okay, so when they are doing the actual avoda, the kabbalah, the holocha, the zrika, the carrying the limbs, etc., what would they do then if the whole azara is a deep puddle of blood? And the answer is, they would go on ledges. There were higher places built into the floor. So since it's built into the floor, so it's not a chatzitza. So they would walk along those higher places when they're doing the actual avoda. Not because they don't want to walk in the blood, but because they can't let their clothes get dirty while they're doing the avoida. Then when it comes to carrying wood for the ma'aracha, which is not an avoida, then they could hitch up their clothes so it doesn't get dirty, and they walk through the actual blood, not on the itztivi, to show how precious the avoida is to them and how they're not put off by the blood over there. Anyway, some say that's why it was stopped up, not because of your idea to be hoarded at the end, we can take a cup of it and spill it on the mizbeach, but rather just because the kohenim show with that how precious the avoida is to them. Getting back now, the main subject of this perek and the end of the previous perek and the beginning most of the next one is the concept of pigul. So the pigul is, in a nutshell, the person who does the avoda has in mind during one of its main avodas that he's going to either sprinkle the blood, eat the meat, or brew the emurim outside of the proper time. That's called chutzlis manai. Then if he has in mind that he's going to do one of these things outside the proper place, outside of his mikdash, the korban becomes posel but not pigul. The difference is pigul, so it's chayav koris for eating, posel he's not. So the Mishnah says, as trifet as a zevach, lechol dover shadaka lechol, lechol dover shayin daka lechol, he shechts it having in mind to eat something which is not meant to be eaten. So he has it, lest he shechts it, does one of the other avodas, let's say having in mind that he's going to take a kezias of the emurim, which are meant to be burnt on the mizbeach, and he's going to eat it, and that he's going to eat it tomorrow or the next day. Or lahakter, dover shayin daka lahakter, or to burn something which is not meant to be burnt, part of the actual meat of the korban, kosher than the korban is kosher. That kind of thing is not called a machsheva. That would make it possible. Rabbi Yezer says it's possible because he doesn't make that distinction. He holds that it's possible. We would say, in other words, the reason the Tanakhama would say why it doesn't work is because it's a basically botla daita it's a fodam. Rabbi Eliezer holds, it doesn't matter. There's achilas fodam, there's what people eat, there's what the mizbeach eats, and Rabbi Eliezer holds those two things are interchangeable, and therefore the korban can become pigul in that way. Elsewhere, the Gemara discusses, does he mean that it's actually daraisa, or maybe he means that it's only dirabah. Okay. The Mishnah continues, what if he does have in mind to eat the meat or to burn the emurim, but pachas mikazayis, but less than a kazayis, so kosher, because achila by definition is a kazayis. Lefel kachatizayis, or lahakti kachatizayis, if he has in mind to eat a half kazayis of the meat, chutzuzmanoi, and to burn a half a kazayis of the emurim, outside of kosher, then it's also kosher she'en achilav aktorim etzarefin, because eating and bruning don't combine. The Gemara did mention in the previous credit an interesting idea that if he were to have in mind that I will eat a half kazayas of the meat, and that the mizbeach will eat half a kazayas of the emurim, then it does become pickle, because it uses the word eating on both of them. But if he uses the word lahakdir as an omishna, then those don't combine. The Mishnah continues, Hashrechet HaZebach, Lechol Kazayis Min Ha'ur. He shechts the korban having in mind that he's going to eat a kazayis of the skin. And the skin is not edible. The Gemara actually mentions elsewhere there are certain kinds of skin animals that are edible. The Gemara mentioned the Mishnah in Fulin, the Gemara brought it earlier in Arma Sechta, the skin by the tail and a few other places. But here we're talking about the rest of the skin, which is not edible. Or he has in mind to eat a kazayas of the gravy the gravy or the soup or whatever that the meat's going to be cooked in. Or the kifa. So kifa is when you have, sometimes you have, let's say, a pot of soup or something, or a roast, you have at the bottom of the pot or at the bottom of the pan, you have a whole bunch of little shreds of meat mixed in with spices and mixed in with whatever else. That stuff is called kifa. Umin ha'olo. Or he has in mind to eat a kazayas of the olol, which is the olol is the sinew, the sinew of the neck. So you have in your neck and an animal's neck, you have the vertebrae over there, you have the bones, and then you have muscles. To connect them, you have a ligament. The neck ligament is very, very tough. So in an animal, that thing is not normally edible. So he has in mind to eat a kazayas of that. There's different other possibilities that Rishonim bring up of what olol can mean. Another possibility that Amnon consistently understands olol to mean, you have, when you strip off the skin off an animal, inevitably you have little shreds of meat that stick together with the skin. That Amnon understands, that Amnon often explains olol to mean that. Anyway, gidin, by the way, in Lashon Kodesh has a lot of different meanings. It means basically anything long and skinny in the body. So it can mean ligaments, it can mean nerves, it can mean veins, it can mean the male organ, it means whatever, all of these things. It means like things like the gidanosha, whatever, all those different kinds of things that are not normally edible. Or the hooves. All of those are not edible. And even, by the way, you have, when it comes to the horns and the hooves, that Amma mentions in a few places, the Gemara talks about it also, you have the areas where they grow out of the rest of the body. You have an area over there right above the hooves or right below the horns, for example. If you cut it, blood will start oozing out of there, because it's still the muscles over there to which it's attached, but nevertheless, they're still basically considered part of the horn or part of the hoof. So all those things, if he has in mind to eat a kazayas of any of those kosher, then the korban will be kosher, because none of those are things that are edible. Not only that, vice versa, suppose the korban does become pickle, suppose he has in mind about kazayas of the actual meat or the actual emurim, then if he eats the horns or the hooves or any of these other things that we just listed from a pickle korban, he will not be chayav kares, because again, they're not roi l'achila. And most of them are not roi l'achila, as far as the gravy and the kefir. It's not so much they're not roi l'achila, but because they're not actual part of the meat itself. We do have, there is the concept, tam ke'ikr. They have a flavor of the meat, and they're considered like the meat itself, but nevertheless, they're still not considered fully part of the korban. So therefore, he's not chayav kares for them. So he wouldn't be chayav mishum pigel, v'noiser, or if the korban is noiser and he eats from the horns or hooves or whatever, he's not chayav kares for that. V'tomei, or if he's tomei, then he's also not chayav kares, although because for the same reason, none of these things are edible. Next, continues the Mishnah, Hashechet HaSamuk Doshin, person shechts a korban, Mukdoshim, by the way, Rashi points out, means generally means female animals. So even though, of course, there are Mukdoshim that are male as well, but we use Mukdoshim when we want to talk about the mother animal versus the baby that it's carrying. So here, he shechts Mukdoshim, he shechts a female korban, lefel shlil or shilya b'chutz. And he has in mind to eat from the shlil, which is the unborn baby, or the shilya, the placenta, b'chutz, or outside of this mikdash, so machsheves makim, or chutz manay, loy pigel, then by doing that, he's not making the korban pigel. Because those are not considered part of the korban itself. It's not part of the body of the korban, and in the same way, a molikas atorin lechel b'tzein b'chutz. The same way, a person does molika on a brood korban, having in mind to eat the eggs, chutz them as manu. Chutz them kaim le pigel. Then again, the eggs are not part of the goof of the korban. And also, follow mukdoshin, beitzei turin, also the milk of mukdoshin, the milk of a female animal that's brought to the korban, the turtle doves, ain chayav an aleim, mishum pigul, nose of the tummy. Again, even if the korban did become pigul, then he wouldn't be chayav kares for drinking the milk or for eating the eggs of the pigul korban. Because again, they're not part of the goof of the korban. So shlo doesn't, to that extent, it's considered yerach imay, but to the extent that we're saying, so we're going to have in the Gemara, actually, we're going to have an opinion of Rabbi Lozer who discussed, the first thing we're going to say in the Gemara is the shlil is part of the mother, but not the other way around. So when you shech the mother, the shlil becomes mutter as well. But it's not the other way around. Our Mishnah is saying he had in mind, meaning it was our Mishnah had said he has in mind to eat a kezias of the shlil. That won't make the mother pigler. The other way around. But you notice the Mishnah did not say that if he eats the shlil or the shulya, then he's potter from kares. If the mother becomes pigle, if he taka has in mind a thought about the mother that makes her pigle, then yes, the shlil or the shulya is going to be included in that. I'll be signed kares for that. But the other way around, where if he had in mind specifically the kezias that he's going to eat is going to be from the shlil or the shulya, then it doesn't transfer to him, it doesn't pass to the mother, right? So that's the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, pigle b'zevach nisfagal shlil. If he makes the korban itself pigle, then the shlil becomes pigul together with it. And it'll be chayav kares. Because the shlil, again, is considered part of it. Uber yorachim. Pigul, the shlil and nisfagal azevach. But the other way around, if he had in mind the thought of pigul on the shlil, then the korban will not become possible, as we said in the Mishnah. Because Rashi explains, Rabbi Elazar holds, yes, the shlil is considered part of the zevach, but it's not dover shedauker lechel. Most people do not eat a shlil. The shlil itself won't become pigle, because we see the Mishnah had said that loy pigle. But now Rabbi Elazar is saying, in addition, the shlil for this purpose would be the equivalent of the horns or hooves or all those other things that we listed in the Mishnah. They're not normally considered edible. That's a clone to Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here some other possible reasons why the shlil would not make the rest of the korban king. So maybe tackle because it's not considered completely part of the goof of the zevach. Tosfos discusses that in some detail. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar continues, pigol b'olol nisfagla mura. Similarly, if he makes pigol in the olol. Now here we're talking about, now in the Mishnah we said if he has in mind to eat the olol, then he won't be considered pigol because the olol is a tough ligament and it's not edible. But in a bird, it's softer, so therefore it's possible to eat it. So if he has in mind the thought of pigol about eating the olol, nisfagla mura, then the mura of the korban will also become pigle. The mura is and it's also called in Hebrew the zefek, the crop of the bird. So you have a bird eats food. You have a pouch inside its neck called the zefek, called the crop in English, where the food gets like partially digested over there. Then it goes down further, and it goes down to the stomach, and then completes getting digested over there. So now, and then the pasuk mentions by an oil asoif that you have to take out the mura and throw it near the mizbeach. You don't burn it on the mizbeach. See, he was saying he had in mind to eat the olo, then the mura, even though the mura itself is something that's pure shaba alma, it's only waste. You have partially digested food in there. It's waste. Nevertheless, it is considered pigul when a person eats from it chayav kares. But Bamura, Lenispago Olo, Lenispago Olo, but on the other hand, if he had in mind a thought of Futsu's manner when it comes to the Mura, then the Korban doesn't become Piggle, Lenispago Olo, so the Olo and none of the brood will become Piggle, because again, the Mura itself is a jug of most, and it's not normally edible. The Rambam, again, because the Rambam, just like he has a different definition of Olol, also has a different definition of Mura. He understands that the Mura is the membrane that you have between the skin and the flesh. Again, it's not something that people normally eat, but it is a part of the body. So, yeah. Similarly, he continues, Pigu ba emurim nispagu parim. Similarly, what about if you have the parim and isurachim, the ones where once the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach, the rest of the korban is not eaten. Instead, you take it outside of your shalayim and burn it. So then, if he has in mind a sort of pigle by the emurim, where he's going to offer them on the mizbeach, chutz nispaglu parim, then the parim as a whole become pigle, and if anybody were to eat from them, like this is supposed to be burnt anyway, but if a person were to eat from them, they would be chayiv paris. But parim, nispaglu emurim, but if he had in mind to eat from the meat of the parim, chutz l'zmanek, nispaglu emurim, the emurim will not become pigle, because again, it's davar shein da'akot lechel, even though this meat is perfectly edible, but it's not supposed to be eaten because it's supposed to be burnt outside your shalayim. So we see, in other words, Rabbi Lazar is saying that in short, so you have a number of cases where our Mishnah is saying that there can be pigle, but it really depends. You have more details in that. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, can we say that we can support what Rabbi Lazar says based on the following braisa? Further on, in the next parak, you have Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim. Does pigle even apply to the Parim and Yisrafim? So the Chacham say yes, just like any other one. Rav Shimon says no, because where do we learn the whole concept from pigle? We learn it from a pasuk that says about shlomim. So Rav Shimon says, therefore, for a korban to be subject to pigle, it has to be like shlomim. Shlomim, parts of them are burnt on the shlomim are parts of them are burnt on the mizbeach hachitzon. Rav Shimon says that the blood of them is sprinkled. Rather, Rav Shimon says the blood of them is sprinkled on the mizbeach hachitzon. Therefore, we can learn any korban where the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach hachitzon is subject to pigle. Korban esrachim, the blood is sprinkled inside the heifer. So he says it's b'chlal not subject to the whole concept of pigle. So now, Lema Messiah, can we say the following braisa supports what Rabbi Elazar just said? Because the braisa continues with shoving, both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim do agree, if he had in mind that he's going to eat some of the meat of the parting outside the proper time, or that he's going to burn them outside the proper time, he didn't accomplish anything, and it's not considered pigle. Because again, the machshava of eating them is not going to be effective. But double shein dark the level, a thought of sreifa is not going to be effective, because what kind of sreifa does the Torah care about? The sreifa where you burn the korban on the mizbeach, not like over here where you're burning it outside the and where outside, not like over here where you're burning it outside your shalach. So my love, shouldn't we infer from the fact that we're saying that the Chachamim do hold pigle does apply to the Parim and the Srafim. They disagree. It doesn't apply if he has in mind to eat them or to burn them outside the time. But the implication would be, that if he had in mind the thought about the Emurim to burn them tomorrow, the Parim would become pigle, and a person would be chayav karas for them, which is exactly what Rabbi Elazar had said. Pigle ba Emurim nispag l'parim. But the answer is loy. That's not necessarily what you should infer from that braisa. Rather, what you can say is, if he has a thought to burn the emurim past the proper time, the emurim themselves become pigle. But the meat will not become pigle, because only because the meat of these korbanos is not meant to be eaten, and it's not considered eating as far as making the korban pigle, then it's not considered either as far as becoming pigle. So therefore, that braisa does not necessarily support what Rabbi Elazar is saying. Doesn't mean that we've contradicted Rabbi Elazar, but we don't have a proof for him from this braisa. Okay, the Gemara continues. Shetoshma, I'll look at another proof. A braisa says, Porim and Yisrachim and Yisrachim and Yisrachim, Moilin behen b'shehuk b'shu, Me'ilah would apply to them from when they're designated, Nishchatu, once they're shechted, now they gain a greater degree of kedusha. Now they become mukshar. That now if a tevul yom touches them, then they will become posel. Or if a mechosek kiporim touches them, same thing. over lina, and if they're left over overnight, then they'll be possible as usual with korbanos. Now, my lab, lina's boso. Now, when we talk about lina, the pashtus, we're talking about even that if the meat was left over overnight. So that would mean if the meat of these potim and istrafim was left overnight, if they didn't brune it that day, they only got around to bruning it the next day, then the korban will be possible. And the same thing we would say, a machsheves lina, a thought to leave them overnight, would also possible. Now, Rashi goes on to say, fine, granted, if he has in mind about the meat itself, then fine, we said before, you need Dovah Shadauka Lev. And we said before that both the Chum and Reb Shimon agree that it won't become piggle by that. But at least we should be able to infer that the thinking to leave over the Emurim will make the meat piggle like Reb Elazar. So Shmamina, Migur de Possible Lina, Possible Machshava. We should assume if the meat itself can become possible by being left overnight and the korban becomes possible, that it means Machshava to do that would also make it possible. And in that case, then that would prove what Rabbi Elazar is saying. And the answer is no, Lina say more. No, to begin with, we're not talking about Lina of the meat. If the meat is left over, then nothing happens. Only if he has in mind to leave over the Emurim. Fine, we just said that if you have in mind to brune the Emurim tomorrow, then the Emurim will become piggled. Nothing to say about the meat, nothing to say about the body of the korbanos itself. So fine, if they're left overnight, they become possible. And if he has in mind a machshava to leave them overnight, then they become piggled. Still not a proof for the Elazar. So the Gemara says, "V'homid katoni sefer kulan moilan behen abeis adeshen." But the Mishnah continues there and says that all of these, the Megillah will continue to apply to them even after they're brought out to the place of bruning outside Yerushalayim, ad sheyutach haboser, until the meat is completely until the meat has completely fallen apart until it actually becomes ashes or coals, because you have a rule called Dover Shanasis Mitzvah, they ain't more than bone. Once the mitzvah has been accomplished, Me'ilah no longer applies. So here, the korban's been burnt, and that's what you have to do. So therefore, Me'ilah will no longer apply to the ashes or the coals or whatever of it. But up until that point, it still needs to be burnt, and therefore the mitzvah has not been completely accomplished. We call the ratio linus bosser. So if you're telling me that Me'ilah applies to the meat of them until it's burnt, then that would imply that up until now, we're talking about the meat. We're talking about where Me'ilah is relevant to the meat, not to the emurim. And therefore, that would mean that also that what we're talking about as far as machshava applies to the meat, not the emurim. Unless it's media, what kind of question is that? Hakadisa of a Hakadisa. Each one is applying to its separate case. Reisha Emurim, safer Basel. The Reisha is talking about the Emurim because we could say that's the only thing about which a thought of pigle was relevant. And the safer is talking about the meat because that's the only thing where it's relevant to talk about what happens after it's burnt. So still no proof one way or the other. The Gemara continues. Mesiv Rava or Rava. So Rava said Rava. Rava says I have another contradiction. Now we tried to, till now we tried to bring proofs for Rav Elazar. Now let's ask a contradiction on him. A Braisa says the Eru she'en mefaglin ve'enin mespaglin. The following things are not able to create pigle and they're not able to become pigle. The faglin means that these are the things that he has in mind to eat or to burn or to sprinkle. Misfaglin means that they become the subject, they become the object of piggle, they become piggle on a person as high of Kardis for eating them. So what are those things? The wool on the head of a sheep. Now most of a korban, when it's a korban oila, for example, when it's going to be burnt on the mizbeach, most of the animal is skinned. Yeah, the pasuk says the hifshe tasaola benitach oisol on sachera. But by the time you get to that point, the head has already been cut off, and it never says to skin the head. So in fact, the head is brought on the mizbeach with the wool or with the skin and with the wool or hair or whatever on it. So now, if he has in mind that he's going to burn a kezias of that wool or eat a kezias of that wool out chutz manner, then the korban won't become pigle, and vice versa, if the korban became pigle by having in mind a kezias of the meat and he eats or burns some of that wool chutz manner, then he won't be chayv. If he eats it chutz manner, he won't be chayv parnas. The seir of his kantiyum, similarly the hair in the beard of a goat. The ha'ur and the skin. So Rashi explains those things are usually brought with the head. So now, if they're brought with the head, then they taka are brought on the mizbeach, and not only that, in olu lo yovin, even if the korban is possible, in certain cases, we still leave them on the mizbeach. But if the hair, or the wool, or the skin, or whatever, were to be brought by itself onto the mizbeach, if they did take it off the head, and then brought it separately onto the mizbeach, it would actually be in olu yovin. Even if we put it on the mizbeach, it has so little connection with the mizbeach that we would actually take it off. So therefore, these things are not considered part of the korban in that sense. Or again the gravy, batifa, or those shreds of meat and spices and all. the olol, or the olol, the neck ligament, or the neck ligament, or the shreds of the flesh, as the case may be, the hamura, the bird's crop, or the membrane between the skin and the flesh, and all the other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the bones, the gidim, the horns, the hooves, the unborn baby, and the placenta, the chalev hamukdashim, as well as the milk of a female animal that's being brought as a carbon, or beitzei turdin, and the eggs of turtle doves. By the way, you know, you have two kinds of birds that can be brought as a carbon, doves and turtle doves. The pashtus, the reason why we always say beitzei turdin, is because turdin are kosher only for a carbon only when they're mature. Pnei Yonah are kosher only when they're immature. So therefore, they're not going to have eggs yet. So the only case where you're going to have eggs from a brood carbon is going to be turdin. Anyway, so all of them, kulam lemasaglin, lemasaglin. So all of those, as we said in the Mishnah, are not able to create pigle, and they're not subject to pigle. So if a person had in mind, for example, to eat a kazayas of the egg, then it won't make the carbon pigle, and vice versa, if the carbon, if the brood does become pigle, and he eats a kazayas of the egg, he won't be chayav karas. So he won't be chayav mishum pigle, the noisa v'tomei, or if it's noisa, or if he's tomei. Furthermore, v'hamala man v'chutz potter, and if a person were to offer any of these things outside the azara, then it would be potter from karas. At the end of the Masechta, it talks in great detail about the issues of shchutei chutz and halal v'chutz, where if a person shechts or offers a carbon outside the azara, he's chayav karas, but these things are not considered part of the carbon. Now that we have this whole list, my love, loy mefaglin hazevach, loy mefaglin machmas zevach. Doesn't the Braisa mean that none of these things are able to make the carbon as a whole pigle, and they're not able to become pigle because the rest of the carbon became pigle? So this contradicts Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar had said that the shlil and the shulia and the mura, if the carbon as a whole becomes pigle, then a person is chayiv kardes for eating the kazayas of them. This Braisa seems to be saying that not. So the answer is No, they're two different things. They won't be able to make the carbon pigles. That everybody agrees to. Again, if he has in mind, as we said before, he has in mind about the shlil to eat it, then the carbon as a whole will not become pigles. But when we say lemispaglin, it means machmas as. Means that they themselves are not going to become pigle. It's not considered a machshava. But if there was a machshava on the carbon as a whole, then those things will be included in the pigle. The Braisa is not excluding that. The Braisa is just saying, if he has in mind to eat a kazayis of the shlil, the carbon as a whole won't become pigle, and even the shlil itself won't become pigle. But if he has in mind about the carbon as a whole, then yes, the shlil will be pigle. That's therefore no contradiction, honorableizing. So the question is, why? The sefer of the Braisa continues, we said all of them are not able to make pigle, and they're not able to create pigle, and they're not able to become pigle. Why would the Tana have to be mentioning that? If we already started the list of Elushay and the Faglin, why would it be adding, at the end of Faglin, Lachora, it's to include the point that even if the carbon as a whole becomes pigle, those things do not. So therefore, that would contradict Rebbe Lazar. And the answer is, no, the Litaimei, the Gemara answers, well, according to your Svara, if you're going to try to prove from the wording of the Braisa, when we said, Ein Chayogan Olav Pigle, if we're Mishum Pigle, you'd have to ask, then why does the Mishnah have to also mention, why does the Braisa have to also mention at the end, that Ein Chayogan Olav Mishum Pigle? Well, true lomali, why would the Braisa have to repeat it again? It said, Ve'evushen Mephaglin Ve'en Mespaglin, and it gave the whole list, and then it said, Kulam Le Mephaglin Ve'en Mespaglin, Ve'en Chayogan Olav Mishum Pigle. That would definitely be a repetition. You would have to answer, because the Braisa wants to mention that you're also not chayav for eating them as noisa and tome, which we didn't have that until that point, and therefore it mentions pigle, because pigle, noisa, and tome are always mentioned together. Therefore, hachanami, so the same thing when it comes to repeating the words loy mefaglin, you could say I did boil misni amala man b'chutz, because he wants to also mention the din that the person were to offer them outside the Beis Hamikdash, that he would be potter, tanami, l'chulam lemesfaglin, lemesfaglin. So therefore it repeats again the point about the two types, about the subject and the object of pigle. But not to say that, in other words, there's two different things. A, that they can't become pigle on their own. B, that they can't become pigle, that they can't make the carbon pigle, but they would become pigle if the rest of the carbon does. Not necessarily is the Braisa implying that, it's just mentioning it again in order to mention other dinim together. So no contradiction, honorable also. Great. So the Gemara goes on, Rav Amar Achanan Nami Tanena. As a matter of fact, actually, our Mishnah proves Rav Elazar's point. Because the Mishnah goes, the Mishnah says, "Asher chet asam kiyachin, lefas shlula shuli b'chutz." He shechts the kodshin, he shechts the female korban, having in mind to eat shlula, the shulia outside the proper area. Loit pigel before chutz is mano rather. Loit pigel, so outside the proper time. Loit pigel, so he hasn't made it pigel. And furthermore, v'amur because atorim lechab etzem b'chutz. If he does malika on a turtle dove, having in mind to eat the egg. Then also loy pigel v'hoder tami. Then the Mishnah goes on to say chalev amukdashim beitzei torim that the milk of mukdashim and the eggs of torim ain chayavan alein mishum pigel nosa v'tami. That person is not chayav for eating them as pigel nosa v'tami, which implied. Now here it only mentions chalev amukdashim beitzei torim. It did not again mention the shlul and the shuyim. Ha shlul v'shuya chayavim. So therefore, that implies there is a case where the shlul and the shuya he would be chayiv kardes for eating them as pigel. Why would that be? Ela lav shmamina kan machmas azevach kan machmas atzman. So therefore, there's a difference for them to become pigel as part of the korban. They do, but for them to become pigel on their own, to have in mind about the shlul that he will eat it chutz zmane, and that makes it itself pigel, that not shmamina. So that proves exactly what Rav Elazar is saying. The shlul is subject to pigel, but only on one side, only that if the turban, only if that is if the mother becomes pigel, then the baby automatically becomes pigel as well, but not the other way around. If he has a thought about the shlul, it itself does not become pigel, and the mother does not become pigel either. Okay. So the Gemara brings another discussion that relates to all of this. Chnanhos, and we learn later in our Masechta, we talk about this idea of im olu yerdu or im olu lo yerdu. Later on in the Masechta, it talks about extensively this point that you have certain things which were not supposed to be put on the Mizbeach, but if they were put on the Mizbeach, the Be'evid, we leave them there and we allow them to be burnt, as opposed to we have other things that im olu yerdu, they have so little connection with the Mizbeach that even if they were placed on there, you take them down and you not leave them here. So later on in the Masechta, the ninth parent talks extensively about those things. Now, you have several different machloikas in about what's included in the category of olu yerdu and olu lo yerdu. So the Mishnah mentions over there. Bali mumim, the Chum say, if the emurim or whatever, a bal mum, were placed on the mizbeach, then you take them down. Aye, the animal was mistakenly brought as a korban or whatever, it doesn't matter, you still take them down. Rabbi Akiva Machshir, the Bali Mumim, Rabbi Akiva says that over the Yevet, if the limbs of a Bali Mum were placed on the Mizbeach, then they're kosher and you leave them. There, Amr of Chiva Abba, Amr of Mishnah. And now, in this connection, Chiva Abba explains that Lohichshir, Rabbi Akiva, Elabed Dukin Shiva Ayin. Rabbi Akiva is not talking about all kinds of Mum. He's only talking about, for example, where the animal has a duk in the eye. Duk, Rashi explains over here in many different places, he translates it with a French word meaning a curtain. So it means that there's a membrane growing over the eye. Another possibility is that it means something more like a cataract. Whatever it is, the point is, that kind of thing is a mum. Now, such a thing is kosher when it comes to birds. Many different mumim that apply to animals do not apply to birds being brought as korbanos. The only thing that's possible by a bird would be where it's actually missing a limb, or where a limb is completely non-functional. So duk and shabayin, though, because they're kosher by a bird, then Rabbi Akiva says, even though here we're talking about an animal, nevertheless, we're not going to say it has so little connection to the Mizbeach, that im olu yerdu, we'll leave it on the Mizbeach for the yedin. Tosfos discusses, is it only duk and shabayin, maybe other kinds of mumim as well, maybe those apostle de Rabbanan, etc. Vuhu shekodem akdeshin es mumim. Furthermore, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba tells us this would only apply if the person was makdish the animal before it developed the mum. But if he was makdish it when a bal mum, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you don't leave the pieces on the mizbeach. And Amr Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, who murdered Rabbi Akiva v'olas nekeva. Now, Rabbi Akiva would agree if a person designated a female animal as an ola. An ola always has to be a male animal. So if he designated a female as an ola, to command to call them mumalek deshadami, that's the equivalent of it having a mum before he made it hektish. So it never had kedushas mizbeach, and never got kedushas aguf in the first place. And therefore, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that if you did that, then the pieces of that korban will be taken off the mizbeach. So now the question is: now we're going to relate this back to the brisa that we said before. Most of this is why the Gemara is bringing this in. Most of Rabbi Zera, Hamala Mehen Machutz Potter. we said with that whole long list of things that we mentioned that are not normally edible or that are not part of the korban itself, that we said if he offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash, then he's potter from Karis. Now the implication seems to be that he would be that he would be chayav for offering the mother. Now, what is that a case? Where is there a case where a person burns meat of a korban outside the azara and he would be chayev? Would be ba'olas nekeva. Would have to be a female nekeva because the only korban where you burn the whole thing on the mizbeach is an oil. So, in other words, if a person were to shech the shlomim outside the azara, he's chayev koris. Let's say he shechted the shlomim inside the azara, so that was fine. Then, if he took the meat and burnt it outside the azara, he's not chayev koris for it because that meat is not meant to be burned anyway. It's meant to be eaten. The only case that we could conceivably be talking about where a person is chayev for a mala mehen bachutz with any chayev would be by an oil. Also, so if you're going to say that Akiva would hold that even an oilus nekeva, even though it's so possible because it was supposed to be a male, nevertheless it still has a connection to the mizbeach and him also loteired, then fine, we could say Hamani Rabakiva. This brisa that we just quoted would be according to Rabakiva. Because since b'di'evid, it could be, the rule is, the Gemara explained later in the Masechta, the rule is anything that could have been offered inside the Azara, that if a person offers it outside the Azara, he's Chayav Karis. So here we would say that an oilus nekeva is not meant to be offered, but b'di'evet Rabbi Akiva would say him also loteirid, and therefore it has a connection, so b'di'evet can be considered something that would be offered on the mizbeach. Therefore, that would be basis enough to say that now a person offers it outside the azara, he'll be chayiv karis. Eliyamatim also teirid, but you, Rabbi Yechanan, are telling us that Rabbi Akiva would say that an oilus nekeva, you take it off the mizbeach, and it has nothing to do with the mizbeach. So homani, who would this b'raisa be like? Why should a person be high of chorus then, for if the b'raisa is implying that offering part of the mother outside the azara is going to be made the high of chorus? Why? Even Rabbi Akiva holds him also teirid, no connection with the mizbeach at all. So the answer is Ema, rather you have to explain that what the b'raisa means is we're saying like this. You were inferring that when it says, for example, if a person were to offer the shlil outside, then he would be potter, implying, but if he offers from the mother, he would be chayev. No, that's not the inference. Hamala mehen bachutz potter. If a person were to offer the shlil outside, he's potter. Home emure iman chayev. But if he offers the emurim of the mother, he's chayev. Well, then fine. There are plenty of korbanos that are female animals. Shlomim chatas, where the emurim is offered on his behalf. So therefore, the emurim are meant to be offered on the mizbeach. Therefore, if he brings them outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's doing something that was supposed to be meant inside, and therefore he's chayav karis. So the Gemara says, "V'hom mehen katzani." But what does it mean? It says mehen, implying that he offered part of the flesh of the shlil, the imon dumya digu, and the implication would have to be that the mother is the same as the baby. That he means to offer part of the flesh of the mother. So therefore, that wouldn't work to say emurim versus emurim. Ela ema, rather, we have to infer like this. Hamala me'emurehen achutz potter. If a person were to take some of the chelev, some of the emurim of the shlil itself and offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, should be potter, because those emurim were not roi lover b'fnim. When you bring a female animal as a korban, if there's a shlil inside, you don't take the chelev of the shlil and offer it on the mizbeach as well. So therefore, so homei emurim iman chayev. But the implication is, if he offered some of the emurim of the mother, he would be chayev because those are roi lover b'fnim. Those were meant to be brought on the mizbeach. So therefore, so you have no inference from this braisa that if he offered part of the meat, or that if he offered part of the meat of the mother outside, that he would be chayiv karis, and takanah, because even Rabbi Akiva holds that the meat of a female ola, which is the only kind that we could be talking about that would have been burnt on the mizbeach, even he holds him also teirid and has nothing to do with the mizbeach, and therefore it's not royal love of the name, and a person is not chayiv karis for burning it outside of his mikdash.
Okay.